Spring is underway, and that means brisk days, cool nights, more pollen than anyone wants to deal with, and the sometimes frustrating, sometimes rewarding experience of gardening. Growing the perfect garden isn't always easy, so we asked our listeners for their most pressing garden questions, and we're going to answer one of those questions today in the second episode of How Does Your Garden Grow with Laura Ney.
My parents were gardeners. They were country folk, and they knew how to garden, and they usually grew pretty good-sized gardens. And so I guess I've sort of got it in my blood.
That's Jane Cobris of Athens. She grew up in rural northwest Georgia. Like a lot of us, she's been gardening more since the COVID-19 pandemic began. Jane gardens with her husband on their property in the Forest Heights neighborhood, which is between Normaltown and Mitchell Bridge Road. This season, Jane decided to plant something called ground cherry. Ground cherries are an old-timey garden favorite in the nightshade family. While they're called ground cherries, you might also have heard them called Cape gooseberries or sweet tomatillos. The plants are doing great in Jane's garden, but she reached out to Laura because she was worried about what she read online about the plant being toxic. And as you'll hear, Laura jumped onto Zoom and put Jane at ease.
I've started growing some ground cherry plants from seeds, and they're up pretty big now. In fact, they're even trying to flower, but I'm pinching the blooms out. But since I started them, I was reading up online about them, and I started reading about their toxicity levels. I was a little surprised. I know that deadly nightshade plant, yeah. And tomatoes and peppers, and of course, are too. And I know that tomato leaves are toxic, but the things I read said that, it seemed like maybe the ground cherry plants are even a little more toxic, because it said that all parts of the plant are toxic to some degree, and even the unripe fruit is. You know, I'm really just wondering if you know much about these. I grew up in the Southeast, and I don't really know that many people who've grown ground cherries. I was just wondering, what do you think? So anything you can tell me that's helpful, I'd appreciate.
There's no reason not to grow nightshade plants, Laura said. She recommended a barrier or a fence if you have young children or pets who might be interested in chewing on the stems and leaves or unripe fruit.
Tomatoes and potatoes and the ground cherries, like you said, and the stem and leaves produce a compound that is supposed to, wards off fungus and other types of infections for the plants, but it is toxic for us to eat. It can cause vomiting or upset stomach, or if you're young or eat a ton of them, it could be even worse. In terms of whether you should plant them or not, or if it's dangerous, I don't think there's any trouble planting these plants. There's a lot of plants out there that are toxic if consumed. If you've ever been a new puppy owner, there's a lot of things in your garden that you may want to be careful of because they like to chew on everything. For a ground cherry, I would say if you have an animal that tends to go around chewing on stuff, you may want to put some sort of barrier between them and the ground cherries. Or if you have young kids that might be visiting your garden, that's something where it would be a concern, because kids would pop off potentially those unripe fruits and try them or something. It could upset their stomach badly.
Jane was also worried about whether the ground cherries could hurt wildlife. Laura said not to worry.
There are a lot of toxic weeds and naturally growing vegetation out there that if consumed would be a problem and irritation or toxic for wildlife. And there's even some nightshade weeds that we have. We have like black nightshade and things that are kind of similar to ground cherry that are out there. I've never heard of it being an issue for wildlife trying to eat them. So the birds are going to be attracted to them when they're ripe, the fruit is ripe, and in which case it's not toxic at that point. And I don't think, most rabbits and things like that nibble on the foliage because it's off-putting. It has a strong smell and it has those trichomes on it. So I've not heard of them being an issue for wildlife.
That was interesting. So I guess maybe it's one of those things that the wildlife kind of know, as wildlife, I guess, often does, when to eat what and when not to.
Yeah, there are usually indicators for the wildlife, unless sometimes if it's an invasive species that those wildlife have not evolved alongside. you know, there might be instances there where they're not used to it and may try it. But even then, a lot of times they'll nibble on some and not like it or get, for the something like a ground cherry, they're going to be attracted to that red, tells the wildlife that it's ripe. You know, they know that that means it's got sugars and things in it. So that's when they're going to want to try to eat it anyway. They're going to get the ones that you want.
Well, I'm excited about growing them then because they sound really delectable. I've read that it's the flavor is somewhere between the flavor and texture are somewhere between cherry tomato and pineapple, and that they're good for preserves and pies and, you know, just to eat in salads or raw or whatever. So never tasted them, but I have 7 healthy looking plants. So I'm
going to. I've heard of a few people have asked me some questions about them. I think it's one of those things where it's catching on. More people are planting them, and then people get curious about them, and I'm going to plant some myself this year.
You can check out photos of Jane's garden on our website, wuga.org. We'll be back next week right here on Athens News Matters with the third and final episode of How Does Your Garden Grow with Laura Ney. Thanks to listeners who wrote in with questions. These episodes are produced by Allison Salerno. And before we go, remember that mystery Easter bush we talked about last week? The one on the Edwards family's 100-acre property in Madison County? Well, the family sent in more photos, and Laura was able to figure it out. She even found a poem about the plant.
It's a Prunus glandulosa. It's also known as a dwarf flowering almond. It grows in a shrub form. It has multiple branches, and it has a beautiful display of double flowers with double blooms that are kind of a light pink color that come out just at the end of winter, early spring, so right around Easter time. The author, Thomas Moore, even wrote some verses about it, and he wrote, "The hope and dreams of a happier hour that alights on misery's brow springs forth like the silvery almond flower that blooms on a leafless bough." This one was a lot of fun, and thanks again to the Edwards family for sending it our way.